place. And so what we're going to do is pull out our biblical glasses, and let's put them on so that we can see everything through this season through the Word of God, and keep ourselves with those glasses on. Make sure we don't take them off, and then we drift in the presence, and wow, I gave them a Maserati and they gave me a toothpick. So we've all been out of shape and we've lost the whole thing. And so this is a time of great celebration. You know, even though the poor shepherds were so afraid, and of course having such a phenomenon happen to them, angels floating above and declaring that Jesus is coming, and joy to the world. But think about the tone, as you were just saying, about this is a time of great celebration. And that's why we opened up the song, this mini service, with the reminder that every praise belongs to God because of what he has done. He's done great things. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. Glory be to God. Isaiah 9:6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mary, you're going to bring forth a child, and his name will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. That's what it is. Amen. It is a time of celebration. Yes, it is a silent night, holy night, and all of those things that came up on the midnight clear, and angels we have heard on high. Amen. But how about every single praise for everything he's done, from the virgin birth to the sinless life to the sacrificial death and the supernatural ascension, and seated in his rightful place, the right hand of God. Every praise belongs to God. Amen. Glory be to God. Having said that, glory be to God, we want to talk about the purpose of so-called Christmas. The purpose of Christmas. The purpose. Look at 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, thank you, Lord Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, or at verse 15. Take your time. Let me know when you're there. Amen. It's great to put the eyeballs on it. Amen. Amen. It's good to hear it. Good to see it. Verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. What saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance? Here it is. That Christ Jesus came into the world, here's the purpose, to save sinners, thank you, of whom I am the foremost. Amen. We tend to forget that the purpose is not bright lights, brightly colored lights, although to our physical external selves, it's the purpose is not gift giving. To our flesh, it's like, man, just what I wanted. Or, man, I wish they'd have did me better. That's not the purpose. The purpose is not really even to just focus solely on the baby in the manger. Uh-oh, that wouldn't preach, but here it will. It's not the purpose. The purpose we see is crystal clear, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the focus. And you know why we need to keep those glasses on, our biblical glasses? Because since the reason he came into this world, which was to save sinners, then the gift that we can give back to him is to live a life that is pleasing to him. To be ye holy, even as he is holy. To work more toward living a sinless life. To work more toward the day that sin is decreasing as far as frequency in your life, and increasing acts of righteousness is what it ought to be, a decreasing frequency of sin and increasing acts of righteousness. That's what it ought to be. Sin ought to be going down. Righteous acts ought to be going up. Amen. You want to celebrate them for real? Hey, a song is only cute as the heart that produces it, or the heart that it comes from. Because if you're not living your life for him, if that's not your goal, then you might as well be quiet. Because Jesus said, God told him, don't even give me your sacrifices. I don't want it. He said, you honor me with your lips. You talk a good game, but not really. But your heart is far, not just your heart is away from me, but it's far from me. You know why? Got the wrong lenses on. Your spectacles on wrong. Got the wrong ones on. Let's get the right one, baby. Amen. He came to save sinners. Listen, he came to save sinners. And in saving sinners, the mercy and the perfect patience of God was put on display. I said, he came to save sinners. And in saving sinners, as a result of that, it caused a great display of, one, the mercy of God, and the perfect patience of God. Read verse 16. Apostle Paul said, I am the foremost in verse 15. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost or chief of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So he says, mercy, I received mercy. And he displayed or exhibited on or manifested and put on display for all to see his perfect patience, not just patience, but perfect patience. Thank you, Lord. That's the focus. There's a purpose for Christmas, so-called Christmas, which is the entrance, which is for us, the entrance, which signifies the entrance of the Son of God into humanity. Think about that. And the reason for that was to save sinners. And so he displays his mercy and his perfect patience. And then you praise him in verse 17. To the King of all ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. So be it. Amen in the Greek. Amen, amen. So be it. So be it. Look at Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 10. As we continue very quickly on the purpose of sin, of Christmas rather. The purpose. Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 10. Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 10. For the Son of Man came, is that again, here is entrance into the world. He came from heaven to earth to seek and to save the lost. Who is the lost? Sinners. Sound like the word, so that would be a synonym for sinners in 1 Timothy 1:15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, is it safe to say that sinners and the lost are the same group? Amen. He came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't end up, because the passage before this is him going to Zacchaeus's. Zacchaeus, well, not going to Zacchaeus in a sense. In a sense, eternally he was, by divine appointment, by providence he was. But he was going, just walking down there, and Zacchaeus wanted to see him. Zacchaeus was a short little dude. He climbed up into the tree to see him. And Jesus said, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. This day salvation has come to your house. He came to seek and to save the lost.
Thank you, Lord.
My Lord and my God. I was telling somebody, a few people, my wife, I think Brooke, we actually went on a tour with Brooke. I ride through Inkster and Westland and various, but just get on my bike and ride. Because I was lost. And I think about the places, wow, how I felt when I was at front of this house, or how I felt when I was on this street, or how I felt when it was this particular day. And I'm like, man, I was lost. And that's what keeps coming back to me. I was lost. My future was uncertain. I didn't know what it was going to hold. Man, that's a sad time. Because you don't know. You're trying to find help in secular things because you really don't know who God is. You don't understand his word. There's no one really to mentor you. My father's been dead for some years. Now, I'm out there just lost. I'm kind of just wandering. But those places, when I go in now, they are places of victory because I once was lost. Phyllis C. Hamm was up before I even finished it.
Oh, thank you.
But now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Glory be to God. So when I go past those places, when I was lost as a child and as a young adult and as a teenager, when you go to those places, I said, but look at me now. Look at what the Lord has done. My future is secure. I'm no longer worried about the future. There's such joy in that. I mean, joy unspeakable and full of glory. My future is set, and there's nobody that can alter it in any way, shape, or form. Hallelujah. And now the little boy who became a grown man in Christ Jesus ride past those places and like, all I see is like victory, 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 because you knocked that out. I no longer think like that. I'm not confused. I'm not lost. I've been found and I see. I got vision. I got sight. Glory be to God. Why? Because he came to seek and to save the lost. Hallelujah. I'm not lost anymore. Let's keep the main thing the main thing.
Amen.
This is the purpose for so-called Christmas. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Woo-wee. Sister April, you got what? You going to come up here or you going to run with me? Okay. All right. Hey, man, she said, I'm running because I feel like running. This is how you ought to celebrate it. But you got to put your glasses on. We got too many other. I don't know if you remember Fred Sanford. He opened that drawer and all them glasses. He picked about 40 pairs of glasses and stick them on the thing and pick out one. We got too many glasses in our drawers. That would preach. She said, it would preach. That would preach. My Lord and my God, we got too many glasses. There's only one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the light. No man comes to the Father but through, by, and because of me. Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There is only one way. And so we need to clear that drawer of all of those spectacles and throw them away. Because that's what got us in trouble during the George Floyd era. We took off our biblical spectacles, reached in the drawer, and pulled out our black or white spectacles and put those on and started interpreting everything through our culture, our ethnicity. And it got some of us in trouble. Not only us, I'm talking about us Christians, division in the church, all that kind of stuff. Keep the Lord God as your focus, then I guarantee you, you're going to always be okay. You leave your glasses on, you're going to be all right every time. Because his word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, John 17. Your word is truth. Aletheia in the Greek. First John, did you find it? Did I tell you 3 and 5?
Yes.
All right, First John 3, verse 5. You know that he appeared. See, again, he came, he appeared, and he came. All of those words are talking about the Son of God's entrance into humanity, into mankind, into this earth. He appeared for what reason? In order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Skip down to verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's the purpose of so-called Christmas. It's all about sin and destruction of sin, getting rid of sin. He came for those who are lost. Thank you, Jesus. It's not about getting stuck on the baby in the trough where the animals feed. That's what the manger is. Now am I getting stuck there, feeling sorry for the little baby had to be, put him in some hay and stick him in there where the animals feed because there was no room in the inn. That's a shame. I was there. I done gave him my room. You're missing the point. You're getting stuck on details that make no difference, don't make a difference. The fact is that he came and he came to die for sinners. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to take away sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He came to save sinners. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 4, the very next chapter. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God, if I'm going too fast, if you're taking notes, let me know and I'll slow down. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. Oh, made manifest. What does that mean? He was brought into view. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him, because we were dead and in need of life. Again, riding through on that bike, just dead. You can't understand God's things, God's way, if you're dead. Amen. It's impossible. That we might live. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. Here it is. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, that word means the satisfaction. The short word of it. You can write a 10-page paper on that word and I'm barely scratching the surface. But the long and short of it is he's the satisfaction. Well, what does that mean? Well, God is holy. His perfect holiness demands that every single sin be paid for. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets away with not even one sin in front of a holy God. Every single sin must be paid for. I don't know if you hear me. Not one sin slides. Because somebody is going to pay for that sin. The sinner pays for their own sins through eternal damnation. And for the Christian, Christ Jesus paid for our sins. But somebody is going to pay for sin. Because the holiness of God demands that. And so the great judge of all of the universe, the great Supreme Court justice of heaven and earth, says, you are guilty. You are guilty. And you must pay for your sins. Oh, but Jesus said, I'll go, as they had in that divine huddle before the beginning of the world ever begun. There was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were in that divine huddle, as I like to say, because there was nothing or no one else even in existence. It was just them three. God in three, meaning he was God in nature, God in essence. God the Father, eternal, self-sufficient. God the Son, eternal, self-sufficient. God the Holy Spirit. And in that divine huddle, there was a decision made, for lack of a better term, that Lord Jesus, my son, I want you to go down and die in their place and remit their sins. And the only way that sin can be remitted is that somebody shed some blood. And it just can't be just anybody. It must be a sinless somebody. Amen. So you are the only one, Lord Jesus, my son, you're the only one that fits that bill. Will you do it? Yes, sir. And I'm doing it because I love you, Amen. Father. You love them and I love you. That's the word. For God so loved the world, but Jesus so loved God. Amen. But see, our secular humanism don't like that. Jesus died for me. Yes, secondarily. He didn't have you on his mind. And when he took the fall, most of all, for me, when we don't sing that anymore either. When he took the fall, when he thought of me most of all. No. That song, through it all, he thought of me most of all. No. He thought of him. I love you, Father. I'll do anything for you. Okay, well, I love them, but you, that, yeah, I'm going to do it because you want it. Keep the main thing the main thing. We always want to put our little raggedy, little dirty little paws and our little filthy hands in pure holiness. Get your smelly, stinky, raggedy, broke down looking self up out of here. And if it wasn't for me putting on the robe of righteousness on your crazy behind, I would let you up in here. You'd be burnt up 50 billion miles as you came into my presence. But I clothed you in my doggone righteousness, and you better bow your raggedy knees to the ground. You ain't worth two dead flies apart from me. Said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And our righteousness is as a bloody menstrual towel, filthy rags. You can't work your way into heaven. That's why we don't care nothing about who God is or the birth of Jesus. We think we're all that, and we're not. Glory be to God. What a blasphemy. Said, if I didn't die for you, brother, you'd be on your way to hell on an ice-covered, just forget a snow-covered ice, just a straight ice heel going straight down, and you got some skis on. You can't slide in hell fast enough in that scenario. And it was God the Son who agreed with God the Father and says, hey, hold up, wait a minute. Let me put some blood in it.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me fix it. Glory be to God. Let me fix it. I'll die in that place. I'll pay the debt they can never pay. And I want you to exchange it, the great exchange. This is a great exchange. Give them my perfect, sinless holiness and righteousness. And guess who else is putting on some glasses? God the Father. He put on, these glasses are called Jesus glasses. So now when he looks at us through the righteousness that he's given him, it is as though we have never sinned. It is as if we were perfectly obedient through Christ Jesus. Yeah, wow. But if nobody taught this, which they aren't, because there's so much secular humanism in the church that we're putting ourselves on top, We don't know how to praise God. That's why it's, that's why praise and worship services across America are just so dry and dead, lacking power, because we really don't care nothing really who God is. We really don't. If you aren't taught who he is, how can you know who he is? And guess who's failing the body of Christ? The pastors are. The teaching pastors. We're so hung up on ourselves. Buy cars that have Bishop Edition on the car. I saw that with my own eyes. I said, are you kidding me? A Bishop Edition? We're so busy pumping ourselves up. I've seen a pastor get on some sort of something and kind of just glide into the church on a high wire while he was seated. They kind of lured him in and just lured him right on down to the... He came at the back of the church on like a what's some thing? Zip line, almost something like that. And he came floating on in. I said, my Lord and my God. That's right, Miss Cheryl. Miss Cheryl put her hand on her head and shook it. My Lord and my God. I mean, we even talk about the smoke cannons that go up when you make a good point. Shoot smoke in the air when a good point is made. Or the disco lights, the kaleidoscope throughout the church. Where's John Travolta when you need him? Saturday Night Fever. How you gonna think about God through all of that? That is such a distraction. God is not on your mind. You're being entertained. It's like, ooh, wow. God is not ooh and wow. He's spiritually discerned. He's spiritually discerned. These old silly pastors don't seem to understand that. You are appealing to the flesh when you do all of these theatrics. Because the next, you got to recognize what you're going to do next week. Because the flesh is never satisfied. Ooh, that was cool for today. But everybody who's in secular humanism, they have that Janet Jackson anointing. What have you done for me lately? Because, yes, last week is done. Now what you going to do today? You floated in last week. This week you better beat it. And I don't mean Michael Jackson. You better beat it. I'm waiting. Well, we just going to teach the word. What? Man, I'm gone. I want Muppets, puppets, secular music, floating in. I want cannons and everything. The Christmas play these churches put on, you know, when they talk about, it's cool. Whatever. Churches spend thousands of dollars and they talk about all how real and all of that. That's my question is, the Lord leading you? Are you doing it because it's tomorrow, December 25th? Are you still being led by the Spirit of God? Or are you being led by the fact that it's a holiday and this is a quote-unquote season? Jesus, when most theologians would tell you he wasn't even born in December. It's more like in the spring. Let's stay focused. He sent his son to be the propitiation. Oh, you gonna die for them? I'm satisfied. Yes, thank you, Lord. We would say it now. It's all good. In the hood, it's all gravy, baby. For sure. He's satisfied. And can you imagine? Woo, Jesus, help us. Can you imagine that a holy God who's perfectly holy, 1 John 1, in him is no darkness at all, that you could satisfy that kind of a God with that high of a standard for the payment of sin? That was a tremendous sacrifice to completely blot out our sins from a holy God. Because, you know, if we try to blot out ours, we're gonna leave a spot here and there. Most of us are going to leave just big statewide spots, as big as states. Because you can't blot it out. Jesus came and had complete white out. Mm-hmm. It's gone. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And he's thrown them, had the nerve. God had you had the unmitigated gall to then take those sins that you removed from us and have thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness. You come up to him and say, you remember when I did this to this little girl, or when I talked about that boy? He said, what you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. What you're talking? I don't remember that. See, it's us who have to learn to forgive ourselves. That's a whole nother teaching. Because pride, let's call it what it is, excuse me, well, pride keeps you from doing that. Because you feel you ought to suffer when God is saying, I've forgiven you. I removed it. It's under the blood. And by the way, that's what he's always telling Satan. Because Satan, as the word lets us know, he's always before the face of God accusing the brother. Look at Greg here. Look at him. Look at him. He ain't thinking right. Get him. And he said, you know, I could have gotten him when he, you know, when I didn't raise him from the dead, but not all of that is under the blood. Because 1 John 1 and 6 or 7, somewhere in there, 5, 6, 7, said the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from. Oh. Preach it. She said it right. She said, oh, that's right. Hang on to that word. He cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Lord. It's like, I like to call it a constant washing machine of blood. And he throws in that sin, throwing that sin, just constantly agitating. Wash, cleanse, keep cleansing. Come out clean. Come out clean. Come out clean.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Ooh, do you feel like running, Miss Darlene? Yes, this is about to happen. It's about to. You better meet me at the club because it's going down. Ha! Shut your mouth, Miss Phyllis C. Get ready with the interpretation. Woo wee! From all sin. And you know what? They said, man, you can't preach that to the people of God, because they're going to think, well, if the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, then I'm just going to just go on and sin because it's going to get cleansed. If that's your thought, then I thank you. She finished it. I don't believe you're saved. Instead of deep humility, incredible gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. If that's not your attitude, I question your salvation. Because a person who is saved is not about how much can I get away with. It's about how much more can I bring you glory. And I'm so sorry that when I said that or even thought this, that it did not glorify you. Yes, Lord. And we repent in sackcloth and ashes. I'm so sorry. He's a propitiation. He's satisfied. I'm satisfied.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that something? Woo wee! And I tell you, when I can tell exactly when God said he was satisfied. I can tell exactly when he said it. He said it right after Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. And God said, I'm satisfied.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory,
you better watch yourself, Miss April. Woo, nephew. Excuse me. I'm satisfied. And here you're going to come and think you can do something in your righteousness to satisfy God. Are you serious? Please rest in his righteousness. When I was lost, I'm trying to be a good guy. You can't be good enough to satisfy the standards and the demands that a holy, perfect, sinless God demands from his people. You can't do it. The quote unquote Christmas story quickly, Matthew 1:18. Thank you for your patience. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place on this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Matthew 1:18, chapter 1, verse 18. Yeah, Matthew, my bad, mother. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Okay. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Luke goes more now that happened. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, that's what a just man does. They don't act rashly. They sit down and think about things and let the Lord minister to them. That's really a powerful a character to just how kind of person Joseph was. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived is hers from the Holy Spirit and not another human being. She had not been slipping, sliding, peeking, and hide. This is a supernatural situation. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus. In the Hebrew, it's Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. For he will save his people from their sins. That's the purpose of so-called Christmas. He will save his people from their sins. Thank you, Jesus. That's good preaching. It's done. As I've always said, you can't unspill the blood. You can't go back to Golgotha's hill or Calvary and try to suck up the blood and stick it back in his veins. Oop, no, that don't count. Oop, that drop don't count. It's been shed, and it's been shed once and for all. Jesus is not confused. Finished means finished. Finished means it's over. Finished means there's nothing else to do. Finished means task completed. Finished means assignment is done. He will save his people from their sins. Glory be to God. It's a done deal. Thank you, Jesus. And then we finish it up in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We went a little longer, but blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord is, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We thank the Lord is on in control. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Okay. And they sang a new song, hallelujah, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and every language and every nation and every people, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. The result of the purpose of Christmas, if you will, is that he has saved sinners from every tribe and from every language and from every people and from every nation. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We're no more male or female, Jew or Greek, black or white, red or brown, male or female, all are one in Christ Jesus. That birth and the reason he came is for all folks of every tongue, tribe, people, and nation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's prepare for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your patience. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. That's where my dad would always begin communion, from verse 23. here I am, many years later, beginning with verse 23, just like my dad. Amen. Glory be to God. He loved the Lord in what he knew, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. My bad, mother. No, yeah. So Julian and Joe will be on the ready, because we're going to have you go and pass them out for a hot second on my cue, if you don't mind. For I received, nope, you know what? Let's do that now. So Julian, Antoine, and Joe T, you can come right in here and just kind of grab, and you can hand it out to everyone. Is there enough?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you can just grab them right behind you there. Yeah. Thank you, Miss April. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, thank you for just ministering to us today. Thank you, Lord. You can just hand it out. And you can, yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you come up this way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here you are, sir. Thank you. Yeah. And make sure you get you one. You know what? If you're able, let's all stand. If you can pick your Bibles up too. And I know it's hard to take notes, Miss Darlene, but.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. If you're able, let's all stand. Did everyone get one? I'm going to wait till everybody's back in place. Take your time, Jude. Yeah. You can sit there. Yeah. Thank you. Matter of fact, just hold on there because we're going to collect the things when they're done. Yeah. Thank you, JT. And Julian. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, you up in the house today. Really. In a mighty way. We can't do nothing without you. Humility is a great, great thing. Thank you, Brooke. Thank you, Miss April. Yeah. Everyone has one? Okay. If you have your Bible, let's look at, lock in on that too. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, for I received from the Lord. Hold on. Yeah. Let me know, Mother, when you get there. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Woo-wee. It's so great to have your glasses on, right?
Yes.
Have the right pair on, amen? Because
yes.
Everything, it just brings joy.
Yes.
I can see clearly now.
Yes.
The rain is gone.
Thank you, Lord.
All of the dark clouds have disappeared.
All the dark clouds.
Clouds, heck yeah, boy. I know that's a secular song, but that's on point.
For us.
Yes, it is.
Thank
look
you,
at, she said, ha! Woo! I've been on Rodney Pearson too long. Y'all got to forgive me. That's Rodney. Hey! Excuse me, Miss Phyllis. See?
Yes, Lord.
It rhymed. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Let me calm myself down.
Thank you, Lord God.
For I received from the Lord. You got it, Mother? Verse 23? You got it? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Yes, yeah. Take our time.
Ooh-wee.
It's great to be sighted. You can see clearly. He said, through your word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Because I can recognize a false way. Because I know your word. And his word is truth. Let's read some truth right here. For I received, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. So what I heard from the Lord, I'm telling you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed by Judas took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. At this time, Father God, we thank you that as we take this wafer as a symbolic representation of the broken body of Jesus, broken for us, We thank you, Father. We take it in remembrance of him, meaning we're thinking about the sacrifice that he made on that cross for our sins. This we do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may now partake of the wafer, the blood, the wafer. Ooh-wee.
If you're at home, you can use cracker.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. If you're at home, you can get you a piece of bread or cracker. It's not about the...
Amen.
Yeah. Get you some water. Get you some whatever. Piece of bread or... Just be thinking. It's about why you're doing this gesture.
Amen. Amen.
It is what's in the heart.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. But I totally forgot to give folks time for late now to really reflect on their lives, because we don't want to take it and eat and drink unworthily. Before we go any further, let's just take a minute or two, because verse 28 says, let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that's the reason why some are sick and some are dead. Father God, forgive me of not going over that verse. Let's take a minute or two to reflect in Jesus' name.